Tank Whale Nuts Garage.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pride Extravaganza live streaming event. This is the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage, and bedecked in his rainbow mechanics overalls is our host, the Faye Driver.
Those overalls have the butt out on the back of them, by the way.
Oh, are they assless overalls?
Yes, they are. So if anyone wants to come over here and help me, I'm welcome to have you. Hello, Laughing Buddha.
Hello.
How are you this fine Pride 48 weekend day?
I am really excited because actually this is my first participation in the live Pride 48 events that have been going on, and I'm very excited and glad to be here.
And so we're so glad to have you and to be here as well. We have lots of guests. Someone's going to join us shortly who we just heard on the Live It Up, the podcast. That was just on the stream. Wes is going to get in here in a minute. But we have a lot to talk about today, and I have lots of things to say about Pride 48 as well. So let's get our guests introduced. Who's joining us first, Laughing Buddha?
Well, joining us in the chat room is just far too many people, but down in the Iowas, we have Eric Boo.
Hello, Eric.
Greetings. It is so strange to do this in the middle of the day.
It is kind of odd, isn't it?
Because I would normally say, hey, I've got a beer in my hand, but I just don't feel right at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
It's okay. Saturday. You don't have to pay attention to the clock today. This is a 48-hour event, and many of us are already into like hour 16.
Oh, well, then I might excuse myself in a little bit and partake.
Also joined from Iowa is your lovely darling wife, Brenda Boo.
Hello, everybody. How are you guys?
Good. Brenda is the my therapist from Pride 48.
I am.
We've had several very interesting discussions on jerking it in June.
Oh, yes.
So,
well, you know, I've picked my own mind apart. I've got to start taking other people's down with me.
Right. You certainly have been opening up a lot of people's cornheads, that's for sure.
Oh, I like to poke the beast as much as possible.
And then, so speaking of being up for 16 hours, RT Cruiser joins us from Australia. Hello, RT.
Good morning. How are you?
I am very well. How are you is the more important question.
A little bit bleary-eyed, but I'm coping.
And have you been up? Because it's quite early. Tell us how early it is for you.
It's 4 a.m.
Right.
Yep.
So have you gone to sleep in the last 10 hours?
I did. I had a little nap on the lounge and woke up for John Ong's show.
Oh, yes.
And then fell asleep again during the entry Angry Pantries. Then got up again for Poke It. So...
Well, thanks for being such a trooper and joining us here at such an ungodly hour.
That's all right.
And then just fresh in from the test kitchen, it's Wes Stone. Hello, Wes.
Hi, Faye.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
Very much enjoyed your show this morning.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And was very interested to hear about all your underwear.
Yes.
I have drawers full of underwear as well.
Oh, do you want to have a drawers from your drawers segment?
Here? Yeah, perhaps. We'll have to get Turnip Head on the show for that, though. Thanks for joining us after your fantastic episode. I appreciate
it. Oh, no, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to talk about lots of things. A question you have about washing cars, and we have a couple other things. Brenda Boo has a broken car going on. But I just want to draw our attention for the minute to Pride 48 and like what's going on this weekend. And, you know, I was thinking about Pride 48 and how we sort of all got connected. And I was remembering back to when I first started listening to podcasts. And I was wondering if anybody else can remember sort of what first podcasts they started listening to. I know for me, one that really, the show that I found was The Daily Purge with John Michael Hawes and Rob Lindley. That was one of the very first shows that I had ever cottoned on to. And I thought, wow, what an amazing show this is. It's really entertaining. It's about a couple of, you know, gay boys from Iowa. And, you know, it had great music, had great production values. And when I first found this sort of medium, I was so completely surprised and interested. And I found, you know, shows like this were so, so wonderful. Does anyone else have any comments on this?
Well, I think for me, it was started with Wanda Wisdom, who isn't with the Pride 48 network, but was someone local here in the Minneapolis area who I started listening to his podcast. And then I kind of fell in with Auntie Vera Charles and Vera Speaks for Real. And then I ended up with the train wreck of the BFO. And it was downhill from there. And then I got connected to your show, Faye, and also Musing Mark. And then it was when Brenda started her podcast. And it just kind of went downhill from there. But it's been a great... it's been a great experience, and I love the friendships that I've formed from being involved in this media way back in the day. In let's see, 2007 2008, I was doing my own show, but as you know, if you're a podcaster, you don't get a lot of feedback if you're not really connected with a community. And so I'm very happy to be part of the Pride 48 community. And like I said, it is about connection. It's about sharing. And it's just been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you my first podcast.
Please do.
It was Fresh Air with Terry Gross.
Oh, God.
Oh, it's stale air.
You had problems with insomnia then, right? You were using that as a sleep aid?
Well, I would listen to some of the shows on NPR, like Wait, Don't Tell Me. And then I started hearing them talk about how they had podcast forums. And I was trying to entertain myself at work, and I was buying every possible type of radio. And Eric's like, all right, please stop buying radios. Let's get you an iPod. So I found Terry Gross with her Fresh Air.
But don't you have to admit, now that you go to that, and this live week of Pride 48, Laughing Buddha, aren't you just expecting somewhere all of a sudden the podcast to be interrupted and say, you know, the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage is one of those great shows we love. And it's because of listeners like you that it's possible.
You know, we could do a pledge drive for Turniped's ice maker if we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that should be one of the gifts you get when you donate.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll also give you this handsome ice maker.
You know, we put on this entertainment, lifestyle entertainment, right, for free. And really, you know, you should be paying us. Just saying.
He only has an hour now.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Which reminds us, I think, Faye, at this point, we really should remind listeners that Pride 48 doesn't happen for nothing. And if you'd like to go over to the website and click on donate so Daniel Bieber can pay the streaming bill, that would be fantastic. Remember, this is about you, so pitch in if you can. If you're able, it would be much appreciated.
You know, 50 cents, a dollar.
Yeah, no, I mean, but seriously, though, we should remind people, it does cost money for this network to be here, and I would encourage people who have the ability to do go over and donate to Pride 48. You know, the Pink Wheel Nuts Pride 48 shuttle used to run at some of the Las Vegas events, and we would donate money that the guests in the shuttle donated to the Pride 48 shuttle, and that's not going to happen so much this year. So the Pride 48 shuttle won't be generating much income for Pride 48. .com. So, you know, if you maybe would have had a ride in the Pride 48 shuttle, maybe you could just send $5 to Pride 48 using the donate button on their main website. So do think about that. As much as we joke about it, We should help out as much as we can, because Daniel Brewer shouldn't have to fund this himself, right?
Right.
So,
That's right.
You've mentioned Daniel Brewer now 4 times, so he is keeping track. So
just right. And actually, you know, just talking, just while we're on the topic of Daniel Brewer and on these shows, you know, shows that really affected me or brought me into this medium were shows like Archer Radio and Arthur the Amarins, and, you know, we've already mentioned The Daily Purge, and I think we need to tip our hat to these guys who started out so long ago, like John Ong with Online. And I know that, you know, I mean, I'm really thankful to have been able to hear those guys like Archer and Arthur the Amarins. I know that Daniel Brewer is going to do a show at some point. Maybe Daniel, you can tell us in the chat room. When you're doing that show where you're just going to let them all talk, it's going to be like an old group show that Archer used to have on.
Daniel says it's going to be on tonight at midnight. Archer, Arthur, Larry Vader, and Nessa.
Terrific. Well, thanks. Well, everyone should tune into that to see how real podcasting was done back in 2007.
When podcasting was.
Back in the day.
So for those, I don't know if there's any new listeners to the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage who are listening here just because it's Pride 48 weekend, but this is sort of a car show, and we try to address people's car questions, so we're going to do that. Typically, we go around the room and ask people what they're drinking, so we're going to do that again tonight, or this afternoon. I'll start because I'm having a very nice mimosa with complete with strawberry on top. So that's what I'm having because it is the morning here. It's nigh on but 11 a.m. Certainly late enough in the day to start drinking champagne, I should think. So that's what I'm having. Laughing Buddha, are you enjoying a beverage today?
Well, actually I am, but it's officially past brunch time here in St. Paul, and it's a little bit early. I'm kind of with Eric. It's a little early in the day, and it's cocktail hour is hours away, but I am enjoying a fabulous Sprecher gourmet soda called the Raven Red, which is a cranberry cherry soda that is brewed in sunny Glendale, Wisconsin.
You certainly are a gay man.
Yes, I am.
You're really just having pop.
Yeah, exactly.
What about Brenda Boo?
Well, I can't top that, so I'm going to do an homage to Musing Mark and say that I'm having room temperature tap water. So I'm just having my usual pop.
Eric, have you been able to get a beer yet?
Not yet. I want to finish my coffee first. I'm having an iced coffee, which is actually my way of saying I just poured some of the pot from this morning in my cup and put a little creamer in it, so it's not warm. But sounds, I have beer chilling as we speak.
All right. What about you, RT Cruiser?
I'm just having a sparkling mineral water with a bit of cranberry and lime for flavor.
Very nice. And Wes? Have you started drinking yet today? Come on, it's 11 o'clock.
Not alcohol, but I was having my morning coffee before my show, and my cup was empty, so I was hoping for a break when I could run to the pot and fill up.
Well, we'll give you that break in just a minute. We're going to talk about washing cars, okay. And I know that you had a question about washing cars, so why don't you go ahead and tell us what you were asking about.
Okay, well, absolutely. My question was really, I wanted to hear your cleaning regimen because I think I heard on an episode of yours that it's a very involved process. So since I just got my car, which is about 8 months old now and almost 10,000 miles, I wanted to know what I should be doing to clean the interior, the exterior. But I also more specifically wanted to know, are products like Armor All really that good for your car, or is there something better that I should be using?
Right, okay. All right. Well, sit down, everybody, and put your feet up because I'll tell you exactly what my philosophy on cleaning is. This might be a good time for you to go get a
drink. No, I want to hear this.
All right. Here we go with the theory of the washing of the car. I use the philosophy of stay high and dry and work wet and low. Wet, low, and dirty. So let me explain what I mean by this. Yes. So when I begin to work on a car, I want to stay dry because I don't want to do any wet water work because I want to work inside and around the vehicle in a dry environment, right? You don't want to be walking around in water and puddles.
Okay.
So I start all the interior work before I do any exterior cleaning, if at all possible, because you want to have a nice clean workspace to work in around you. And then so I'll do all the inside work like vacuuming and cleaning the windows and the dash, and I'll address your dash question, dash products or cleaning products question in a minute. So I do all that stuff, and I have various things that I do. I have many brushes. I have a couple of brushes, like a toothbrush for the really fine cleaning, and an old paintbrush, like a 1.5-inch paintbrush that I've cut off the bristles. So there's only about 1 inch or 2 inches of bristles on the brush. Old paintbrush that I use for cleaning vent, you know, those little teeny spots where you can't get your finger in, like where the vents are and around the radio buttons and all those little tiny little nooks and crannies. I use an old paintbrush to just brush around those things. And then, you know, everything you probably already know how to do, just vacuuming right. under the mats and all that kind of stuff. So when I've completed the interior and done all the windows and all that, then I will move to the wet work. And by wet work, I mean now washing the exterior, so spraying the car down. And I said my philosophy was start high and dry and work top down from clean to dirty, right? So when I'm washing a car, I will spray it top down and take my nice foamy hand washing mitt. And I recommend you use car soap. Do not use things like Sunlight or dishwashing detergent, because that will actually strip the wax that some of us paid a lot of money for when we first bought our cars. So dish soap will strip that wax away. So you want to use an actual car shampoo or car soap. It's better on the paint.
Okay.
And then start at the top and work down. So I do the roof and the windows and then the top of the hood and the top of the trunk. And then I'll do sides and then front and back. The really important thing, the process you want to consider is that every time you stick your washing mitt into the water, it gets dirtier and dirtier every time you use it. So if you start at the top where your car is less dirty and work down to where, you know, where the wheels at the bottom and along the underside of the car or the lowest points of the car are where it gets the most dirty, that and the rear end is the most dirty on your car. So I always try to do those last because you don't want to be carrying around dirty water in your mitt when you're washing the other sections of the car.
Okay.
So does anybody have any questions about any of that?
I would like to know how long that takes you to get to that point.
If I'm actually really detailing a car, I mean, it takes me 3 or 4 hours to do a really good job on a car. But I just washed my Porsche a couple of days ago, and I did it in about 20 minutes.
No.
It's like a bish, bam, boom. But that wasn't a clean. That was just, it was dirty on the outside. So I did a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am on it.
So I have a question about the little cracks and the small brush that you use. What about a Swiffer? Have you ever tried that? Do you have any success with getting into the crevices with those?
Yeah, I have used Swiffers. They're good for like getting up in where the window meets the dash, up into those hard to reach places. But they're not the best for that really fine detail work, like around radio buttons and where you're, you know, if you have electric windows, those you can get a lot of buildup around the electric window switches.
Yeah.
So either a toothbrush, like an old toothbrush you don't use anymore, or that old paintbrush works really good for getting that fine dirt out of those little cracks.
I have a legitimate question that's not poking fun at you. How do you clean the inside of the windows without creating the smear? Because every time I do it and I think I've got it, the next time I turn it on, the little bit of condensation shows all the smears that I've done.
I'm not sure that you can avoid that. This is what the professionals do, is they will spray the glass with the glass cleaner, use a fresh, clean paper towel, and then they follow that after they paper towel off the window. They follow that with a cotton cloth. Now, some people say, well, that's going to put lint. You're going to get more lint. Now we have these microfiber cloths, and I would recommend using a microfiber cloth to polish off your window.
Mm, okay.
Do you do that in your cleaning? Do you have a wet rag, dry rag philosophy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I know I have to buff it out. That's what I think most people do, is they don't, when it comes to drying, they don't quite dry it enough, and that's why it's smeared. But I've never had as very good success when I'm doing the car, because usually it's hard to get to those weird little spots. You know, right. Arms are only so long. So, but yeah, I do.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I would recommend. And absolutely, even I have extremely high standards and I still can't get smears or that sort of that ghostly effect off of my windows either.
Have you tried newsprint?
And vinegar?
White vinegar.
White vinegar, yes.
Well, my dad had a 1966 Chevelle Malibu. And it was his baby. Candy apple red, Krager Super Sport wheels. I mean, and he did the level of detailing, which I always used to call obsessive compulsive. Until now, I've discovered that he was not the only one that did that sort of cleaning. But one of the things that he would do.
How dare you?
I didn't say anybody's name in particular. When he cleaned the inside of the windows, he would use just Windex. But he always said, he would always get a newspaper and use the newspaper and the newsprint to wipe it, because he said that that would prevent streaks and prevent the sponges.
I dispute that.
Well, yeah. I'm just basing in what, you know, he did.
Does anyone want to comment on this newsprint fallacy?
Actually, I use newsprint to clean the windows in my house, and I have to say I get some extremely good results using that instead of endless paper towels. But you know, your mileage may vary.
And even with the ink on the newspaper, you're not getting ink stain? No, smear?
No, there's no ink. All of the ink that's used in modern day newsprint is biodegradable. It's usually a soy-based, and I have not had any problem with the ink going onto the glass.
Hmm. Any other comments? I want to talk a bit more about washing and how to actually wet wash your car too. But does anyone else have any questions?
I was just going to say, I just have a microfiber mitt to do inside and outside the windows, and they come up fine. No streaks.
I've been finding when I do my windows is if I use my outside window rag on my inside windows, there must be contaminants on the outside of the glass, and I'm carrying it inside with me. So I never use my outside glass rag on my inside glass.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, I never thought about that, but I will use the same rag outside as I do inside.
Wes, what's wrong with you?
Now, Faye, do you have separate compartments in your storage case for your cleaning equipment that is labeled for outside rags and for inside?
Do you want me to hit them now, or do you want me to wait?
No, these are all valid and fair questions. Of course I do. No.
No, they're different colors and sizes. You can just tell.
Well, when you launder these rags and cloths, do you use certain detergents so that they doesn't add a buildup to them?
And you know, that's a point. You know, like if you're using soft cloths and cotton cloths, Brenda, when you clean, you do not use fabric softener on those cloths.
Right. Well,
because
for the microfibers.
Because one of the core components of fabric softener is pig fat.
Ew.
Well, it is. So, but if you clean windows and, shiny surfaces, it creates a smear.
Yeah. I bleach the sucker out of those things.
Mm. Okay, so just carrying on then, just speaking a bit more to washing. If I have a very dirty car, I'll use two buckets of water as well. And one bucket is the soapy water, and a second bucket I use to rinse the rag. And it's just a bucket full of hot water that after you finish a scrub down with your big foamy wash rag, I rinse that rag to get any dirt particles out of it before I put it back and pick up new, fresh, clean, soapy water. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So that you're getting the dirt out of, you're keeping that all that dirty, grimy, you know, sandy particles out of your fresh, clean water. Mm. Okay. But that's the freak. This is the freak speaking.
No, it's all making perfect sense to me.
Yeah, all right.
You had a car shipped from where, though, RT?
What? Atlanta.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, but and now here's my question, RT. If it spent all that time on the boat and went all that way, by the time you received it, was it just caked in dust and dirt and like oil residue?
No, it was quite clean because it was pouring with rain when it was delivered, so it had a really good rinse off. But no, it was fine because it would have been undercover the whole time.
Hmm. They probably rented it out to some poor immigrant family, and they lived in a lot.
Oh,
that's horrible!
Possibly. And a bunch of homeless men used it to have their orgies. Yes,
I didn't say that. I said an immigrant family.
Oh,
yeah, that'll excuse will do for what's in there now. Yeah.
So, Wes, have you been able to get a drink yet?
Or no, because I've been listening to all this.
Oh, very attentive.
Yeah.
So now to the question of inside and what products to use. You asked about Armor-All. Does Armor-All, I believe your question was, does Armor-All actually deteriorate your dash, or is it a good thing to use or not?
Right.
I don't use Armor-All, not because I think it can deteriorate your dash, but because it's an oil-based, it's typically an oil-based product, or, you know, these dash shining products are all oil-based. There's a rumor that your dash will break down in the sun on the oil, you know, on this stuff will make your dash material break down and it'll eventually dry and crack. I don't necessarily believe that's true. I think what I don't like about products like Armor-All is because they're oil-based, they will actually draw, you know, they tend to attract dirt back to them and dirt will stick to them because of the oiliness of it.
Okay.
So I just use a rag with water, like a wet rag. Even soapy. And just a wet rag and a dry rag. And I clean the dash with a plain old wet rag, polish it off with a dry rag, and that's the way I leave it.
Okay. Interesting. And you know,
Armor-All was always, I always thought they marketed themselves wrong. It's not necessarily a cleaner as it is a shiner, because even Armor-All back in the early days used to have two products. One of them was an actual cleaner, then the other was a shine, but they never tell you about the cleaner. They always just pushed the shine. I never thought it cleaned very well.
I never liked the smell of it either, or the feel, that oily, greasy feel on the dash.
Mm. Can it is oily.
Can I recommend Simple Green? It's a so-called natural product, and it does take off a little bit of the greasiness that sometimes, if you're sitting in your, let's say you're eating in your car and you're having a sandwich and you might
eating in your car, who does that?
I guess it can help break down any kind of dirt and grease you might. And it smells good too. What do you think, Faye? Am I out of my gourd with this Simple Green recommendation?
I have nothing to say.
I'm assuming no alcohol based cleaners should ever touch the dash, right?
Yeah, I would avoid any kind of cleaning sort of stuff because just because it tends to be very detergent in nature. Mm-hmm. And especially if you might have a real leather or a good quality dash, you're more likely to be sucking all of the healthful components out of that dash. Or I think you're prone to prematurely aging the dash if you're using alcohol-based or oil-based cleaning materials on it.
Now, I would recommend, and when I say alcohol-based, I mean isopropyl alcohol, when it comes to cleaning of the radio or anything that has electronics in it, because it will dry and not leave a residue. Hmm. And, you know, if you're doing the detail work on around the radio and you're using like a Q-tip, I strongly recommend isopropyl because you don't want a residue inside the electronics.
Okay. Well, it evaporates very quickly too.
Exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't take that isopropyl and put it on the dashboard because it would, you know, ugh, God forbid. But at least in that part, I would recommend.
Or for cleaning your tape deck spindles.
Exactly. You still have tape decks. I have an 8-track player in my pickup.
Poppers. So
I don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah, we're getting sidetracked into video head cleaners.
Does anybody have any other questions about cleaning your car?
What's your take on self-serve car washers, Faye?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Someone mentioned driving through they had driven, I think it was JR from Hello Waffles, drove his car through one of those horrible fabric slapping things.
Yeah.
I've taken my car through those things. I don't have too big of a problem with it. I think they're made of pretty good material these days. It's more like microfiber chamois style material. So I'm not a huge fan of it because I think the danger is that if you have a very dirty car before you going through it, it carries their dirt. And then you can be washing your nice clean car with the dirt from the last car, if you know what I mean.
Yep.
So I think you should avoid them if at all possible. But in a pinch, I don't have a problem with it.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, if you go to that kind of car wash, you're having your car washed by every other car that's been washed by that car wash, right?
That slut.
Seriously, <Yeah. laughs>
my dealership offers a free car washing service. So they said basically you could bring it in every day if you wanted to have it clean it. But I've never seen what it is. I'm sure it's one of those, you know, fabric things that are beating uh-huh. against the car. And it still comes out with specks of stuff left on it. So
it's
disappointing.
You know, I don't know that they're any of these automatic car washes aren't the best. I'm not opposed to the touchless wash either, you know, the ones where you just get sprayed. But they do use harsh chemicals to strip the dirt off your car, and in getting the dirt off, they're also taking off any wax you might have on your car, and they're probably, you know, hurting the finish if you're not a car waxer.
Yeah, all ours use recycled water as well, so you just don't know how well they're filtering it.
Mm-hmm. So, Faye, that's another question I just thought of to ask was that how often should I – if I can't wax my car in my complex because that's not allowed. We're not allowed to do that type of stuff here. So if I bring it somewhere, how often should I be having it done?
Well, let's go around the room on this. What about Laughing Buddha? What do you think on waxing of cars?
Waxing of cars, you should probably do – well, here in Minnesota, we experience all four seasons. So I would suggest twice a year, once in the spring after you've thoroughly cleaned the winter gunk off your car, and then again in late fall before the harsh winter begins. That would be my recommendation for waxing a car.
Brenda?
What? Oh.
Do you have thoughts on waxing a car?
No, I'm listening. I'm thinking, when was the last time I waxed my car? Probably Eric? This year should be done.
I think if instead of basing it on just a number two or three times, if there's ever a question, do the bead test. Take a little bit of water, spray it onto your car. If it beads properly, which is the whole point of wax in the first place, then you don't need to apply a new wax. If you notice that it's not beading properly, if it's not running off properly, then you should wax it. But it's also dependent on the type of detergent that you're using as you clean your car too. As you mentioned, if you use dishwashing detergent, you're going to strip that wax more often. You're going to cause more damage. As opposed to some of these car wash soaps that are specifically designed to remove dirt without removing the wax buildup.
What about you, RT? I'm sure you must have some strong opinions on this.
No, I agree with Eric on that one. We don't have really harsh winters or anything to worry about here. There's no salt on the road. So I use a Meguiar's wash and wax. And as long as the car's beating, I'm fine.
Can I tell you why I don't wax my car anymore? Because sure. It makes me sad. When I first got it, it was used, but there wasn't a lot of scars on it, bumps. Well, since then, we've had some issues, and it just makes me sad now to look at all these little
jizz and stuff. I hear you.
So I just wash it and look away quickly.
But you might be able to wax some of those little scratches out.
Yeah, that's true.
So my father did it so often with his last car that the paint faded on the car, but it had an amazing luster. You know, it shined and it was super smooth. So he obviously did it a lot.
Did he have a mechanized buffer?
No, I don't think he did. He just did it all by hand.
I'm actually not a fan of waxing myself. I mean, I highly recommend it, but I hate doing it. So I don't, you know, I haven't waxed my cars in years. I know I should. One would say once a year at a minimum, I would think, but I can't be bothered. And my cars live inside too, so they're never really.
4 hours cleaning it with a toothbrush.
I know, but that,
God forbid you wax it.
I just fucking hate waxing. It's like painting. Waxing and painting, my two most least favorite things in the world. Okay, let's move on. Wes, I hope we answered all your questions.
Yes, thank you.
Please feel free to email podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com at any time for any other questions on cleaning your car. Speaking of your poor old car and being dinged and pocked and all that, let's get to you and your little issue that you're having with your car. It sounds like, according to that Peter G, the last time he was with you in your car, he was concerned about your car's health.
Yes.
he actually called it the death car. Brenda had excused herself to the restroom, and Peter had this ashen look on his face, and he just said, it's a death car.
Well, what me and Faye were speculating that maybe it was the gears, because sometimes when I shift, it's a 5-speed, it kind of slips. And, you know, when you shift constantly, sometimes you get a little lazy and your foot comes out a little sooner than it should. And you grind them and you think, shit,
Transmission. Clutch.
Right. So I went to a parking lot and I drove in such a way that you could hear me shifting. Now, if you hear this clunk sound, that's not me shifting. It's my phone smashing around because I put it on the floor where Peter said he could feel the vibration. So when I was coming to a stop, it went clunk. So that's not me shifting. That's just the phone smashing around.
All right. So you're going to play the sound of your car and the noise it's making for us right now.
Yep. So here we go. So. Yep, that's the sound. So yeah.
Okay, so that was you driving, like just driving forward at 5 or 10 miles an hour or something?
Up to 15. I got into a third gear and then I slowed down really quickly so you could hear whether that was my brakes or something, but And when it's in idle, the engine is very quiet. So I don't think it's anything to do with the engine.
So it's only doing this, making this noise when you're moving.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Well, I have a guess on this. Does anyone want to make a guess as to what they think might be wrong with Brenda Boo's car?
Well, apart from a Honda badge, I'd start with the wheel bearings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
Yeah,
and me too. Pondered.
That's what our mechanic thought too.
Yeah, is it a rear wheel? Does she think? Do you know? Can you, if you had to point to where that noise was coming from, Brenda, where would you be pointing to?
The front right wheel. Oh,
okay, so it's a front. It's either a CV joint or an actual bearing. I think it's a bearing as well. Does it sound any different when you turn? Like if you make a left or right turn, does it get noisier or sound different?
No, it's very consistent.
Yeah.
It's very loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think, we all here seem to think it's a wheel bearing.
How much does it cost to fix?
Well, it's hard to say. It's going to be somewhere around $300, mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah, but remember, if we have Abby do it, we won't pay nearly as much in labor.
So Where is this bearing? Can I look at it and see it, or do they have to dig into it?
Yeah, no, it's not something you can see. The tire needs to come off, the brake assembly needs to come off, and it's basically the thing that keeps your spinning parts of your wheel attached to the car. So it's very important, and it can be quite catastrophic if this fails on you. Essentially, in the worst case scenario, your wheel could pop off, okay? It's not likely to occur. What's more likely to occur is it'll just break and then you won't be able to drive anywhere. But it is serious. And it's the wheel bearing is a thing that has a bunch of grease packed into it. The problem with these newer cars, what year is your car?
2004.
Yeah, so a 2004, some of them are, you're able to repack the bearing and it's just a bunch of little wheels and metal stuff. They all turn against each other and there's a bunch of grease in there, and it's the thing that gives the wheel the ability to turn, and it bears all of the weight that's on the front wheel, that bears that weight back onto the axle. So some of them you can repack. They call it repacking, where they basically, you can get a new bearing set or you can just put brand new grease into it. But it sounds like your bearings have just really worn out and you need to have a whole new bearing set. Now, in newer cars, some of these front wheel drive cars, it's a closed system. It's they call them a wheel bearing for life or a synthetic bearing. And you actually can't change it or repair it. You have to actually have to buy a whole new basically bearing, or you might have to buy a new hub set. And if it's one of those, they tend to be much more expensive than just being able to fix the bearings. So,
and I think that's the case, Faye. I think in this case, the repacking can be done. I think that's what Abby was saying.
Right.
So just a matter of taking it to Abby across the street.
Yeah.
And paying her to do it. So when I got my new tires, this is nothing they could have spotted and said, oh, you might want to check into this.
No, well, they wouldn't have.
They would have had to have taken the wheel off. They would have known.
There might have
been some play there.
But they may not have taken it. I mean, because you really got to take more than just the wheel off to get to the bearings. I mean, if they didn't take off the brake assembly to get in.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And they may not have heard. They may not have heard the car drive. I mean, they would have figured this out right away if they drove the car more than a block or, you know, across the parking lot. Not necessarily. They wouldn't necessarily be aware of this problem just by changing your tire.
Oh, right.
Especially if the Joe kid, hey, kid, go change the tires on that Honda. You know, so they get the 15-year-old who's in for $5 an hour to pull the wheel off and give it to the tire man and put it back on again, right?
Right.
So, okay. But it's serious. Look, you should look after it.
Okay.
Please. I'll talk to Abby. Maybe we can get her in to have her. We can look at it today.
Okay. All right. We're running low on time. We've only got about 15 minutes left in the show, and I want to talk about these commercials. I tweeted out on Twitter. Did anyone notice this morning? Hardly anybody's on Twitter. And I wonder, is it because they're all hungover from last night's partying, or is it that just everybody is here in the chat room hanging out on Pride 48 rather than being in Twitter?
Probably that.
But in any case, I know that Crone Haven did her homework. Is Crone in the with us here on the chat? I can't see. So I'm going to put into the Pride 48 chat room some links for a couple of commercials, and I believe these may be Canadian only commercials, because I don't know if you guys, any of you who've already looked at these commercials, have seen them. It's for the Kia Forte, which is a small sort of a sedan, like a small sized commuter style car.
Yep, that's what I've got.
Oh yeah. And it portrays some people in not very flattering light. So if anyone wants to go check out the chat room links that are coming up right now, and Brenda's going to play the audio for us on a couple of these commercials, and then maybe we'll get you to play the audio for the Fat Family, the one I've labeled Fat Family.
Do that now?
And go ahead and do that now, and then I'll explain what's going on in the commercial.
Inside every family is another family who always compromises. But when you get everything you want, you don't need them anymore.
Say goodbye and compromise.
Wow.
That's it.
I don't quite understand, but okay.
So there's two families, right? There's the pretty family, and then there's the same actors playing the same family, but they're all fat and homely, looking at them drive away in this beautiful Forte, and they're stuck behind because they compromise, right?
Aww.
Yeah, so apparently if you're a person who compromises, you're ugly and fat, but if you buy a Kia Forte, you don't compromise. You're a really good person, and you're beautiful, and your family is lovely, and you're healthy and fit, and you have the funnest time of your life.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense to me.
Is this made by the right, the extreme right, that compromise is a dirty word now?
I don't know. I saw this commercial and I thought, what a horrible portrayal of, you know, the everyday Joe. There's another one called Ugly Spinster, and it's the same idea. There's this really, you know, cute, preppy looking, gorgeous girl it looks as though she's breaking up with her fat, ugly friend and saying, I'm going to go on with my life and be happy. And there's this horribly disfigured girl who looks like she just crawled out of a hole or something. Like,
mostly she had a unibrow. Did you catch that unibrow?
Yeah. And like a wart on her nose and bad teeth. It was just terrible. Did anyone else, did other people click on these links and view these commercials?
Okay, but here's my question throughout all of this. And what made them beautiful is a Hyundai?
No, a Kia.
A Kia.
Oh, that's even worse. A Kia?
RT owns a Kia. He might have some words for you.
Did you feel ugly before you bought the Kia? Do you feel beautiful now?
Well, no, because I had a PT Cruiser before that. I was cool, even back then.
Yeah, but RT, has the Kia gotten you laid? I can see the classic car getting you laid. But
yeah, that I do get a bit of attention. That no, the Kia, I do get, you know, get by under the radar in the Kia.
But can I just mention, like, if you just, like Wes said, if you just heard the commercial, it doesn't sound as offensive as when you actually see it. Because they're really playing on your, like, you know, an affordable price, you don't have to have a unibrow and have your face pressed up against a window looking at your beautiful self drive off in a car. Right?
You know, and I would say that the audio kind of torqued me because it comes across as an evangelist. Play it again.
You don't have to compromise, people.
Do you want me to play it again?
Yeah. Finn? Go ahead.
I'll do the ugly spinster, see if it's any different. That's what he marked it as.
Inside every person is another person who compromises. But when you get everything you want, you don't need that person anymore.
Say goodbye to your compromise.
Okay,
that's just, that's, oh yeah. Oh,
just sounds like radio voice to me.
Play the first one. Play the first one again.
Inside every family is another family who always compromises. But when you get everything you want, you don't need them anymore.
All right, that's enough.
All of a sudden, put your hands on the radio.
It does sound very evangelistic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think these commercials, too, in Canada, I thought when they had originally aired and they were full 30-second spots, I couldn't find the 30-second spot in my research. I just found these little 15-minute stingers. But I think that the full-length commercials were even more offensive to me. And I'm wondering if they got such public outcry that they removed the full-length ones and sort of charmed them down to this shorter thing.
Probably.
In any case, the whole thing is very offensive to me, and I'm quite surprised that Kia got away with this. And I'm curious to know if this only did appear in Canada, because I don't know. I didn't find them on any American networks anywhere.
I don't recall ever seeing them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if what makes you beautiful is a Kia...
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be a Kia. It could be a bag. What's that bag you just bought there, Laughing Buddha, for an exorbitant price?
Oh my goodness, that was my Saddleback leather satchel.
How much? How much you pay for that, buddy?
Well, I got a special. It was on a deal.
Don't put the man on the spot.
It was $367 US.
Wow. You are attractive, Laughing Buddha.
Oh my goodness.
I'm gonna be a one percenter.
You are a one percenter.
But if you only had a Kia. If you only had a Kia.
Now if I had a Kia and a Saddleback leather bag, I'd be golden.
I'd be asking you out. Come on now.
Well, guys, thanks for joining me here on the Pink Wheel Nuts Garage for this terrific Pride 48 weekend, 48 hours or more of live podcasting. You know, we were talking about at the beginning of the show podcasts that sort of we got turned on to in the very beginning of our podcast listening career. And I want to ask people on the call if they remember this one podcast from a guy. It was a young guy who was about 16 or 17 years old, and he used to sit out on the roof of his house right outside of his window, his bedroom window, and it was a very personal journal podcast, and I can't remember the name of the show, but it was a really engaging podcast about sort of his life as being a gay guy, and he was sort of on the way out of the closet. Some people in his life knew he was gay and some didn't. Does this sound familiar to anybody?
It sounds familiar, but I don't think I ever listened to it.
And in one of the episodes, he was in his house podcasting secretly, and his brother came home by surprise and sort of caught him off guard. And I remember hearing his brother walking through the house, and they had a conversation, and he kept it all in on the show. Anyway, I always wondered whatever happened to that guy, and I think he called himself Rick or Mike or something like that. And
how would you feel if you found out that that wasn't true? What if it was just some guy creating a moment? Maybe he really was gay, but maybe he was recreating thoughts that he had and everything. Would that change your feeling about the show if it was less true and accurate?
No, I don't think so.
Because it was me, Faye.
It was a very, very early portfolio show in Brenda's vast empire, right. I think.
I'm sorry, yeah. I didn't mean to make... I'm just teasing, but... It just occurred to me. I wonder, you know, because I take everything as it's given too, and I'm almost like, well, what if it was really a young guy?
Right. So. Like some of the news stories we see, click here. someone was talking about on some show about
Wes.
clicking on things. Yeah, Wes. Well, anyway, I guess people don't remember this, but it certainly was one of the podcasts that was that really solidified my interest in podcasting. And I missed that guy, and he his show all of a sudden ended. And you never really knew what happened. Did he come out to his family? Did it go good? He was just about to go off to college in the last few episodes. And, so I hope he's well. I hope he didn't off himself because he was gay and he couldn't take it. So anyway,
I'm sure he's alive and well someplace.
Right. All right. We got to get out of here, folks. So I'll give you all a quick chance to tell us where we can find you on the internet. Brenda Boo, how can we find you?
Well, I'm blathering my way through June, and it's hello again, it's brendaboo.com. Right.
Eric, how can we find you?
Weekdays, 9 to noon Central Time on kmryradio.com.
Thanks for joining us here today. RT Cruiser?
Yep, just on the Twitters at RT Cruiser.
Wes, where can we find you?
Well, I and Turniphead do a little show called Live It Up, which you can find at liveitupthepodcast.com or on iTunes.
And I am the Faye Driver. You can hear this show and my in-car show, which I haven't done in ages. I promise I'll get to one soon, on pinkwheelnuts.com. We're not going to have another Pink Wheelnuts Garage until the end of July. Out and about July 25th will be the next garage show on Friday on Pride 48. Following us, coming up just next, is Chubbs Gone Wild. And remember, everybody, join us for Pride 48 Las Vegas the weekend of September 19th to the 21st. Now, the man who always has the last word on the Pink Wheelnuts Garage, it is the Laughing Buddha.
I am the Laughing Buddha, and you can find me at thescooterdiaries.net. You can also follow me on Twitter. That's LaffingBuddha. And remember, if you enjoy this service, please make a contribution at the website. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
I need a tote bag.
Pink Whale Nuts Garage.
Remember, stay high and dry and wet and dirty.
Oh, dear.
Dirty, dirty, dirty.